How about now?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's good to be with all of you this morning. I hope you don't mind, but we are going to take a two-month sabbatical from our series on the second coming. And we're going to devote the month of December entirely to the birth of Christ. And I think you know by now the entire month of November to the subject of Thanksgiving. And perhaps you can better understand why we just watched that video. I don't know what you walked away with after observing that video, but here's what you should have walked away with. It should have reminded you of a truth that is one that we try to avoid, and that is simply this. Being a Christian is hard. Being a Christian is hard. And that video ended with a passage of Scripture that explains why that is true. The video ended with 1 Thessalonians 5 and every 18. It's not showing up on the screen, Rafal. That's okay. I have the verses in my manuscript. I'll just work off my manuscript. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ this morning, do you know what that makes you? A Christian. Do you know what's hard? To give thanks in everything. It would be a lot easier this morning to be a Christian had it said, Michael, I want you to give thanks in some things. Or the good things. Or the things that make you happy. Now the Christian, however, is to give thanks in everything, and how many would agree with me that must include the bad? I mean, if everything means everything, that's both bad and good. I wrestled with whether I would save what I'm about to share for the beginning of our lesson or the end. I thought I might want to bring it to the beginning. I want to give you incentive to listen very carefully. To listen with the object of learning. But as I told Greg about 10 years ago, we don't just listen and learn, we live what we listen and learn. I want to give us the incentive to listen and live what we are about to learn. So I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with this question. Is there anyone this morning in need of God to be good to them? And look, I don't care what it is. Are you in need of God to be good to you? Is there something in your life? And you go ahead and you fill in your little blank. I really need God. I really need God to be good. The psalmist says in Psalm 145, 9 and 10, the Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. I share that verse of Scripture early on because I wonder if it's at all possible this morning that we are missing God's goodness because we don't give thanks for His goodness. In Psalm 9 and 1, we read, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Is it equally possible that we are missing His goodness because we are not giving thanks by telling others about it? Did you know, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 2, the unsaved are characterized as ungrateful. The unsaved are characterized as ungrateful. The Christian life is hard. I wonder if anyone would be willing to agree with me that it is not easy to give thanks in a wheelchair. Did you notice the first picture in that video? A little boy in a wheelchair giving thanks. It is not easy to give thanks in a typhoon. That little girl, that was the second picture. It is not easy to give thanks when you're diagnosed with cancer. It is not easy to give thanks when you are homeless, unemployed. It is not easy to give thanks when you are running with prosthetics. This morning's lesson is hard, not easy. Now sometimes we make the verse the video ended with, that I began with, harder than it needs to be. I say harder because Paul does not say give thanks for everything, but in everything. Now, this is why I've chosen for our lesson title, An Attitude of Gratitude. Do you know what we're going to need in order to be able to give thanks in everything? And we have to understand that the verse is less about what you are going through and more about how you're going through it. Let me say that again. The verse is less about what you're going through, the wheelchair, the typhoon, the cancer, the homelessness, the unemployment. It's more about how we're going through it. We're in it. And we're in it to give thanks. So here's what we're going to need if we're going to give thanks in everything. We need perspective. And we need purpose. We need perspective and purpose in our pain. And we need to ask and answer this question. Can anything good come out of something that is so bad? Can anything good come out of something that is so bad? Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, had perspective. And he had purpose in his pain. He was beaten. Beaten by thieves and robbed. This is what he wrote in his diary. Let me first be thankful because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. I would submit to you that's perspective. But it's also purpose in pain. Someone once said there are those who complain that God put thorns around roses. And then there are those who are thankful that God placed roses around thorns. Now the question is, which one are we? Who are we? Now that's the kind of perspective that we need this morning if we are going to give thanks in everything. It's less about what we're going through. It's so much more about how we go through it. Did I neglect to mention that how we go through it will determine the measure of God's goodness? God is good. He's looking for people to give Him thanks for His goodness. But what does it mean to give thanks? Let's talk about those two words. They come from the word, the Greek word, euharistao. Go ahead, say it. Euharistao. You'll never say it again after this morning. Let's talk about that little word, you. It means to speak. Giving thanks has something to do with our lips. It has something to do with our mouths. It's what every person in the video was saying. in Revelation 11 and 17 and Hebrews 13 and 15 are these words, saying, we give you thanks. You see, we say it. Hebrews 13 and 15, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Have you ever heard this said about someone? They cry with a loaf of bread under their, you don't know that one? Arms. I sometimes wonder when we do not give thanks if God above is saying, don't they remember how much I gave? When we don't give thanks, does He wonder to Himself, don't they remember how much I have given? Did you know God wants us to do that? Look again at the way the video ended. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will that we give thanks. This is what God wants. That's what we mean by God's will. It's what God wants. You say, well, what does He want? Well, He wants His children, His blood-bought children, to go around saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. With our mouths. And according to Psalm 9 and 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Going around saying, hey, Bob, let me tell you what God did for me. I want to thank God in your midst. That's what that passage is saying. This is what God wants. God's will. We're going to talk about that. You see, not being in God's will gets in the way of what God wants. So I have good news about God's will. Listen to what Philippians 2 and 13 says. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We don't have to do this alone. God's will is at work in you. God doesn't just say, here's my will. God's will is at work. To do what? What is that? Philippians 2 and 13? Look at the next verse and you'll find out what His will is at work to do. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. God's will is at work in you so we can do all things without grumbling. Do you know what the opposite of gratitude is? Grumbling. So here's God's will and God's work in us, in everything, so that we're grateful people, not grumbling people. Allow me to give you an example. What book are we in? We don't have to go very far for our example. Paul in Philippians 1, 3 and 4 says what? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul is praying. Paul with his mouth is giving thanks to God in prayer. Paul's in prison. Can we let that just sink in for a moment? See, he's able to give thanks in what? In everything. Even when it's bad. You know, Paul's in prison. That's got to be pretty bad. Do you recall what he was doing in prison? Acts 16 and 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Well, we already know that. He said so in Philippians 1. He's thanking God. He's in prison and he's praying. But now we add something. He's singing. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul was giving thanks with his mouth by praying, and now we add he was singing. Sometimes I wrestle with some of the things I want to say. Do you think I do that? Yeah. George Dewey, who's home with the Lord. And I used to do this far more so early on in my ministry. George would say, there he goes again, meddling. I try not to meddle in the pulpit. I hope you don't get mad at me. But I have noticed some of us have a hard time singing in church, let alone prison. Did you notice the prisoners were listening? They heard. Ask yourself, what's harder, the pew or prison? You say, but Pastor, I'm one of those Christians who sing softly in my heart to God. Do you remember what we learned when we went through the book of the Revelation? You say, no, remind me. I don't think I was here when you went through the book. Well, in Revelation 5 and 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying. Do you remember how they sang it? Revelation 5 and 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Heaven is noisy, folks. There'll be loud singing in heaven. Why are they singing so loud? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lamb worthy of loud singing this morning? You say, Pastor, what does loud singing have to do with giving thanks? I'm glad you asked. Revelation 11:15 and 17 says there were loud voices in heaven saying, we give you thanks. Loud singing. I wrote these words. How many know these words? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. How can we sing softly? How can we sing under our breath? How can we mumble? You know, that's the wrong question. Can I give you the right question? How can the Christian saved by the Lamb slain not be loud? Loud. I remember when I went to a Reformation and Revival ministry at the college church in Wheaton many, many years ago. It was a men's conference. There were about 500 men. And we sang one of my favorite hymns, I believe written by, I don't know which Wesley brother wrote it, Amazing Love, right? We've sung that song here many times. I felt like the hairs on my arms were standing. It was loud singing. But listen, it wasn't just loud singing to be loud. These were thankful men. These were men saved by the Lamb. Do you know why we struggle to give thanks in everything? God's will. Let's talk about God's will, because we already know it's God's will that we give thanks, right? And we already know that it's God's will that we give thanks with our what? Our mouths. And we know that we give thanks with our mouths, not only to God, thank you, Lord, in prayer, but singing, right? And we don't just want God to hear. We want all the prisoners to hear. You know, you ought to ask yourself, am I loud enough for the person in the pew next to me to hear me? If the person next to you in the pew were to glance left or glance right, will they discover your mouth opening? And then ask this question, how much is your mouth opening? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Is it one of those? You know, we ought to be able to see the tonsils, whether they've been removed or not. We ought to be excited. See, people who are thankful people are excited people. They're enthusiastic people. They're passionate people. The Lamb. They know the Lamb slain. It makes a difference. See, that's why I say, if you're in Christ, you're a Christian. And the only people who can give thanks in everything are Christians. And you know why? It requires God's will and God's work in us. See, this is a supernatural thing. Let's talk about God's will, because it gets in the way of giving thanks. Six times in the Bible are the words God and will side by side one another. When you're in the ministry, especially as a pastor, you encounter people who want to know, what is God's will for my life? And frequently, the question revolves around things like, who should I marry? You know, what occupation should I pursue? Should I go to this college or that college? And it varies. Those sorts of things vary from person to person. But there are some things that are true for all of us without any ambiguity. For example, it's God's will that we be saved, 1 Timothy 2. Now, if you were to open up your Bibles there, you will literally find God's will side by side. It's God's will that you be saved. And that's what we've been talking about, the Lamb slain. You heard the gospel, you repented, you believed the gospel, you're saved. But it's also God's will that we be spirit-filled, Ephesians 5. And it's God's will that we be sanctified, 1 Thessalonians 4. And it's God's will that we be submissive, 1 Peter. Here's the last one. I saved the best for last. It's God's will that we suffer. It's that last one on the screens that we need to talk about, because it is that last one that speaks to this morning's lesson being hard, not easy to give thanks. You see, God's will is like a house of cards. One falls, they all fall. If I'm not spirit-filled, sanctified, and submissive, that's going to affect how I live, right? That's going to affect how I think. That's going to affect my ability to give thanks in everything. Did you know that suffering is God's will? Can we let that hang in the air for a moment? Because we're asking the question, can anything good come out of something that's bad? And this is why we need positive perspective and purpose in our pain. We've got to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. We've got to be convinced from God and His Word in our hearts that this is not for nothing. That whatever I'm going through, something good can come out of this. And I can be positive in the midst of my pain. Why would God's will want me to suffer? Perspective. You see, what we're going to learn is with God, He knows how to bring good out of bad. Did you know that sometimes suffering is given to us by God to purify us when we are suffering due to sin? Isaiah 48 and 10, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Did you know suffering in our lives is sometimes given to us by God to prevent us from sinning? 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." That was given to a man who sings in prison. That was given to a man who is evangelistic in a way that we can only dream we could be. That was given to a man who dedicated and devoted his entire life to Jesus Christ. And so if he's given a thorn, who are any of we to think that we might not have a couple ourselves? Now the question is, when it comes, will we complain that God has taken thorns and put them around roses? Or will we be thankful that God has taken roses and put them around thorns? How will we react? How will we relate? Did you also know suffering in our lives is sometimes given to us by God to make me confess my sin? Hosea 6 and 1, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us." You know, sometimes in life we're in the torn and wounded place. How many know it's hard to be in the torn and wounded place? We need the heal and bandaged place. That's what we're longing for. But God wants us to return to Him. God's will is that I suffer. God's will is at work in us. God's will is at work in us to keep us from sinning. And He uses suffering to sanctify me, which coincidentally is one of His wills for us. So you see, God's will is that I be sanctified, set apart, holy, sinning less, not sinning more. And He uses suffering to bring that about. I don't know about you, but that's bringing good out of bad. That's good out of bad. He uses suffering so I will submit. You know what the word will is all about, right? It's all about submission. And that's one of God's will, that we submit. So the question becomes, is it His will or my will? His way or my way? If you're in any capacity sinning, you're not Spirit-filled. And you're not submitting. Did you also know suffering in our lives is sometimes given to us by God to draw us closer to Him in prayer? Isaiah 26 and 16, "O Lord, they sought you in distress." They could only whisper a prayer. "Your chastening was upon them." God's chastening is upon us. Distress. God is causing the suffering. Why? It's God's will. On one hand, I'm ashamed to admit it. On the other hand, I need to be truthful. I prayed more at the time of my daughter's suffering. And listen, her suffering became my suffering. I prayed more during that period of time of her life. But here is where I can make a mistake, and so can you. You know what happens sometimes when the suffering is gone? So too is the fervency of that prayer. And you know what happens? My dad has been reminding me this since I became a Christian. He says, you know, God has lessons for us. The sooner you learn them, the better off you are. You know what happens with God when you don't learn His lessons? He's going to let you repeat them and learn them over and over and over again. And you know what happens? It hurts, and it hurts more, and it keeps hurting, and I never come out from underneath the pain. Did you also know suffering is sometimes given to us by God to qualify us as counselors to those who are suffering? By the way, I'm asking the question, can anything good come out of something bad? Is there perspective? Is there purpose in our pain? Is it all for naught? Is it a waste of time? No. See, only the Christian can think the way we're thinking this morning. In 2 Corinthians 1, pay careful attention. God of all comfort. How many know God is a comforting God? Now watch this. Who comforts us in all our affliction. You know what affliction is, right? That's pain. It hurts. Now why does he do this? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. You see, I suffer, and God helps me. You suffer, and God helps you. We suffer, and we help each other. That's what that passage is teaching. That's perspective, is it not? Is there not purpose then in our pain? Good can come out of bad. What is God's greatest purpose in pain? Here comes perspective personified. Two passages. Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him. Now, Paul wants to know Jesus. How many want to know Jesus? Okay, now watch this. How many want to know the power of his resurrection? Right? When you die, you want to live, right? Now watch this. And the fellowship of his sufferings. See, Paul wanted it all. He wanted to know it all. He wasn't running from suffering. He's saying, I want to know this. And then Peter says it this way, for it is better if God should what? See, we're talking about God's will, that you suffer for doing what is right. Now let me pause there. Listen, we are never more like Jesus Christ than when we are suffering for doing right. That's what Paul was after. Doing right. Experiencing what Jesus did. Did I neglect to mention this would be a hard lesson? I mean, who would want to suffer? The only people that will look at suffering differently are those that have some perspective on it. So why don't we? Why don't we what? Well, why don't we give thanks in everything? You know, let me just say this, a couple of things before we move further. Number one, I have not arrived. Okay? I'm not standing before you as someone who gets an A+ in this lesson. I don't. And number two, let me add to that, that I am in no way trying to be insensitive to what anyone is going through. I fully understand that life can really stink. Life can really be hard. But at the same time, you've got to ask yourself a question. Is there perspective in my pain? Is there purpose in my pain? And one more question. Would you like something good from God? Because we began with this understanding that good from God is somehow inextricably linked to giving thanks to Him. How many here like to keep blessing people who are ungrateful? You like to do that? It makes it hard. Always belly aching, always crying with a loaf of bread under their arm. Don't they know what I've given them? Don't they ever pause to consider what I've already done? So why don't we? I began to think of, what are some of the reasons why we would struggle to give thanks in everything when life is hard? And I only came up with one that will occupy the rest of our time, and that is doubt. Let me explain what I mean by doubt. Doubting what? Well, this verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His what?
Purpose.
Yeah, purpose. How many know the reason why things need to work together for good is probably because they're not so good? Right? I mean, if everything's wonderful, what do I need things to work together for good for if they're already good? I need them to work together for good because things aren't very good. And let me ask you this question. Do you believe this verse? Then let me make a recommendation from the Word of God. Until bad turns to good, give thanks. Until God, in His providence and in His purpose and in His timing, until He decides to do something about the circumstances, the in everything you're in, whatever that in is, give thanks. Because goodness is around the corner. Maybe the truth is we don't give thanks in everything is because we don't really trust God's Word. We doubt verses like this one. Do you know what happens when you doubt God's Word? You can't be in God's will, can you, if you doubt His Word? I mean, if you're questioning, if you're lacking faith in His Word, you can't be in God's will and simultaneously doubt His Word, can you? Does that sound like the Spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive life to you? No, it can't be. Maybe we doubt His Word because we doubt His wisdom. How many believe God is wiser than us? Maybe we doubt the purpose in pain. Maybe we doubt the wisdom that there really could be good out of bad. Do you know what we must believe when we are going through whatever we are? I am where I am because God wants me there. How many know that's hard to say that and believe it? Right? When we are where we are, we don't want to be where we are. Anywhere but here. Anywhere but suffering. What is God's infinite wisdom? Why would He want me suffering? Right and wrong. Wrong and right. I may have done something wrong. How many believe it's possible to be suffering due to something you did wrong and you're oblivious to the wrong you did? It hasn't yet sunk in. You haven't yet put two and two together. You haven't yet figured it out. Hey, I got some unresolved issues to deal with. Or maybe we're suffering for doing right. Maybe we're incapable of giving thanks in everything because of selfishness. Like, I don't want it this way. My wife and I wrestled when our daughter was going through what we were going through. We were selfish. I wanted my daughter to be like all the other daughters and sons of other men in ministry, that I look at them and their children and I say, that's what I want. Why aren't I getting what I want? And it bothered us, didn't it, Laura? You know what this sounds like, right? It sounds like I want my will, not His will. It sounds like I don't understand or I'm unwilling to understand that only God knows the forest through the trees. And this breeds discontent. It's hard to give thanks when there's a battle of the wills. And you know, when there's a battle of the wills, ours always loses. How about a critical spirit? That'll get in the way of giving thanks. These are people who can find the manure in every meadow. They overanalyze things. They're perfectionists. Things just aren't the way they want them to be. It could be at home, it could be in the church, it could be at work, it could be wherever. And you know, you're that kind, you're such a critical thinking person, nothing is the way you want it. It's hard to be thankful when you're cut out of that cloth. They cannot patiently thank God, listen, for an unfinished process. I'm guilty of this. I'm 12 years here. I was expecting, after 12 years, I was thinking maybe an addition by now. I was thinking of something more than what I'm looking at. And sometimes, my wife will tell you, I'd be in, and some of you are probably going to wish I would have taken myself up on my own thinking, but I would be en route to church quitting. It never occurred to me that maybe there's a process here that God wants me to be thankful for, that as I'm going through it, instead of being critical, how about being thankful for the people who are here? How about being thankful for the people who were here before I came and they're still here today? How about being thankful for the people who weren't here before I came and they're here now? Does that sound like something maybe God would want for me? No? Somebody said no? Yeah. Amen. Okay. Maybe we doubt God's love. If God really loved me, He would never allow me to be going through what He is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How many know the Father loves the Son? How many know the Son suffered? How many know there's perspective and purpose in His pain? It's called our salvation. I wonder, when we do not give thanks, if God above is saying, don't they remember how much I have given? I gave them my Son. Let me end with a question. Do you need something good from God? Then how about this? Give thanks. Give thanks in your praying. Give thanks in your singing. Give thanks in your telling. Start to shape a prayer life that is just filled with thank you, Lord. Think about your prayer life. Think about how much of it is about what you want, what you need, and what you're hoping for. And then think about how much of our prayer life is focused on thank you, Lord. Singing. Give thanks in your singing. Boy, I hope next Sunday when we sing, all of you who are here, remember this sermon, and when it comes time to sing, my hair on my arm stands up. See, we ought to be loud. Not for loud sake. We know the Lamb. We know the Lamb that was slain for me. Telling. Do people know you as a telling person who is a thankful person? See, these are the three byproducts and characteristics of the person in Christ. Their prayer life resembles thanksgiving. Their singing shows they're thankful. And they like to tell people about what God has done. Thank you for listening.